Previously on the Sports Talk with Devin Wade podcast.
Why you gotta stab me like that, man? Right off the jump. I mean, golly. Playoff Lamar and regular season Lamar, two different guys. I don't know her music, but I know that this woman is pushing weight.
Shake it off.
I'm look at you a little different. You can't go back home to the hood with that one, man.
You keep expecting that he will eventually make a play.
Bobby Brown, with just a little bit of cocaine in his system, is... just as good or better dancer than Usher.
Did you say if he didn't marry with
if he would have stayed in them streets.
Bad boys, no bad boys. And you always been a bad boy, so I see why.
We believe in change and we're prepared for it with new techniques and new approaches. And as for our part, we feel that you're the best pieces of manpower available in this whole region.
Let it go out there today, baby.
3, 2, 1.
And once again, our mighty ship is back on course.
Welcome to the Sports Talk with Devin Wade podcast.
Oh! Mama, there goes that man.
You roll. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of our show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of the Sports Talk with Devin Wade podcast. So glad to come to you again with another episode. And we have a lot to get into. So I want to first and foremost welcome all of those who are listening for the very first time. I want to invite you guys to be a part of the Sports Talk with Devin Wade community. And you can do so by calling the sports line 24 hours a day, 832-941-6614, 832-941-6614. Leave a message, a question, a comment, and we will certainly try to get at you. In addition to that, the Sports Talk with Devin Wade group on Facebook. Want to do that? You can post, you can brag about the team, you can see what other people are posting. There's a lot of information there, a lot of eclectic things. There's some things locally, regionally, historical, all sorts of things. And, of course, you can be a part of that and also answer some poll questions when we come your way with those as a part of the We the People segment. In addition to that, on social media, on Instagram at the Devin Wade and on X/Twitter at Wade's Word. So there you have it. There are all the ways that you can be a part of the community, and we invite you to do just that. This time out, going to talk about some women's college basketball, but NFL free agency is high on the list. A little bit earlier today, had an opportunity to catch up with Reggie Brown from the special teams unit. We talk a lot about NFL free agency. However, it's such a fluid situation. Some of the moves in free agency literally happened after minutes and hours after our conversation this morning. So with that, let's get into it with some headlines. I have to tell you, I am so unfamiliar with the Texans being a competent franchise that when free agency started and all of these running backs were falling off of the board, started to concern me a little bit. Even Devin Singletary left. There were no moves. I mean, again, this is one day in, and obviously, formally, you can't sign until Wednesday, but all of the signings sort of fell into place. It were announced. All these negotiations took place, and the Cowboys and the Texans were really, really quiet. Not only the Cowboys are quiet, because just today, the Texans have made a big splash. Last I heard, Joe Mixon was going to be released by the Bengals. And I said, okay, well, yeah. And Aaron Jones was released by the Green Bay Packers. So I thought, okay, well, let's see if the Texans go after Aaron Jones. Austin Ekeler was a guy I liked. I wasn't so high on Derrick Henry. Pollard went pretty early. Didn't care about necessarily him, but there were other running backs that I liked. But when Aaron Jones became available, that was cool. And Mixon was going to be available. But the Texans swooped in the last moment before they released him, offered a seventh-round pick, and now Joe Mixon, with a very favorable contract, will join the backfield with C.J. Stroud and the Texans offense. Man, that's pretty good. He helps you in so many ways. Not only is he productive, consistent, he catches out of the backfield. He is a guy that can really add to the versatility of this offense, and I'm excited about that move. But then Danielle Hunter, former Morton Ranch High School product, LSU product, from Katy, Texas, from right down the street. He signed with the Texans, and this is a huge haul. This guy had 16 and a half sacks last year. He came into the league in 2015. He is probably, arguably, the best defensive player in this free agent class. He's gotten it done. He was a third-round pick from Minnesota by Minnesota, and last year played all 17 games, and again, 16 and a half sacks and four forced fumbles. He got it done, 54 solo tackles, 49 assists on tackles, 83 total. I mean, this guy is going to be a big help for this defense. Obviously, the defensive front got pushed around by Baltimore, and you saw that they needed help on the offensive side, on the offensive front, and really a lot of the offensive front has to do with health. So they have to develop a little bit more depth, high-quality depth on that offensive front and stay healthy. And on the defensive front, you lost early on Jonathan Grenard, who left for the Vikings from that linebacker position. So there's some voids there at the linebacker position. We'll have to see what they do to fix that. But, boy, adding Hunter to that defensive front is going to be huge for the Texans. Now, that's just one piece of it. And, again, all this stuff is fluid, so a lot of things keep happening. So the big play for me, the biggest one, was Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh. Because not only does he help that, I mean, he calms everything down. He's a leader, and he is still really, really productive. He was really, really cheap. But on the field, what he'll do for that offense will work wonders in comparison to Kenny Pickett. Now, I think late word is that they have traded Deontay Johnson, the Pittsburgh Steelers, to the Carolina Panthers. Let's see. That's not official. Let's see what the sources say on that as I look this up literally as we speak. Going to the Panthers, and it looks like, yeah, that's going to be a loss for them. But you still have Pickens there. In addition to that, you have some productive tight ends. They are probably not through because the Steelers not only added Russell Wilson, they added Patrick Queen, the linebacker, to help that defense. I think that's going to be huge. He knows he played in that AFC North. He knows how to play smash mouth, really Pittsburgh Steeler type football. He did it for the Ravens. That's a little bit of a hit for the Ravens. But, hey, they made big news by adding Derrick Henry. That's a perfect move for them. A lot of people wanted Derrick Henry to go to Dallas, but no, you have to go to only a couple of teams can really run the ball that way, that really maximizes what Derrick Henry does. And not, I mean, you talk about a team he just left who knows how to run the football in the Tennessee Titans. Goes to the Baltimore Ravens. They know how to run the football, and that's a huge help. And that is something that they can defer to when, say, Lamar Jackson is not on the top of his game. He's playing a little bit erratic. You can look behind you, if you're Lamar Jackson, and hand off to a Hall of Famer and a guy that's going to be bruising, and he'll pay off, if healthy, in December and January. That's when you look for that guy to really make his bones. He got a 2-year deal. I mean, I think the storyline about this free agency period has really been the running backs. Everybody thought, oh, you know, running backs, they're a forgotten entity in the NFL. But these guys have gone out and shaken up the NFL. Because you have Josh Jacobs, who leaves Las Vegas for the Green Bay Packers. In addition to that, you have DeAndre Swift going to Chicago, leaving Detroit. You have Pollard, Tony Pollard, going to the Titans on a 3-year, $24 million deal. And, of course, Saquon Barkley leaves for a division rival in the Philadelphia Eagles. Here's my deal with that. You worry a little bit about, okay, you lose a Hall of Fame center. And if you know about the offensive line play, it's all about synergy, playing off of one another, understanding how to play together. That's why when a guy goes down, a lot of times it can be really, really disruptive. Not that the guy is not as talented, but they don't mesh together for whatever reason. I mean, I'm not the one to explain the intricacies of offensive line play. But losing Jason Kelce, anytime you lose a Hall of Famer, that's going to be hurtful for you. But in addition to that, on the defensive side of the ball, Fletcher Cox retires. So a little bit of movement there in Philadelphia, but boy, adding Saquon, and you talk about looking over your shoulder and having Saquon behind you if you're Jalen Hurts, that is a potent offense. But the surprise move that I think will pay the biggest benefits potentially, and I think that's going to be Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta, because they have all these guys, Algier, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. They have some talent on offense, and now you add Kirk Cousins to the weakest division in the NFL. You can make arguments about others, but clearly the weakest division in football is the NFC South. Now, Baker Mayfield signs a 3-year extension for $100 million, but do you believe in him like that? Are we really believing in him like that? Okay, you might believe in him, but do you think that they are head and shoulders above now what looks like a very competitive offensive and defensive team in Atlanta with Kirk Cousins? But he's coming off of Achilles, 36 years old, and he's made a gazillion dollars. Man, I'm telling you, man, the businessman for life. His agent is probably the best ever to get him the kind of money he's gotten for a career, having only one playoff win. So that's happened. So a lot is going on. Gabe Davis joins Jacksonville in the Texans division. Give me your thoughts. What's the most exciting thing for you? What are you excited about? What don't you like? Who do you like? Give me your thoughts on that. 832-941-6614. Going to take a timeout and come back with a whole lot more. Of course, still have Reggie Brown. And this timeout, we will have a Lamont Award for the big dummy of the episode. This is the Sports Talk with Devin Wade podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast.
Your children are the most precious gift God has given you. Their well-being is of the utmost importance, and finding childcare that exhibits the same belief is, well, non-negotiable. So why not end your search at Brighter Brains Learning Center? Located in Stafford, Texas, Brighter Brains is a licensed, family-owned and operated daycare that promotes an early educational foundation and provides an environment of love, safety, and quality care for children ages 6 weeks to 5 years old. For more information, call 346-328-3717 or visit brighterbrainslearningcenter.org.
It's Shelley Wade, and welcome back to Sports Talk with Devin Wade.
Surprisingly enough, although it's been building in this direction, but surprisingly enough, dominating the sports headlines a lot lately have been the women of college basketball. Women's college basketball has been incredible, and there's several reasons why they're starting to dominate the headlines. But their conference tournaments took place over the weekend for the most part. I think they're done now, and all that's left is seeding. By the way, let me say this. We will have a men's and women's bracket. It will be under the group name KTSU Sports Talk. So if you want to pick the women's bracket and the men's brackets, you can with us. So we will make that happen. The brackets, it'll be the group KTSU Sports Talk. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on or in later episodes, but I want to remind you about that already. So our guy Pernell Harvey, listener of the show, asked about that, and he wanted to make sure we did a women's bracket, and we will do one. But of course, the biggest story was the brawl between LSU and South Carolina. Camila Cardoza, the sort of the big low post player that they have, that is an amazing player, had an incredible weekend, by the way, that was marred by this incident. She pushed down Fly J Johnson, the freshman of the year last year for LSU. Just a ball player, stone ball player. It was chippy all day. Angel Reese, who plays for LSU, and Cardoza were going back and forth. And really, it looked like Reese was kind of handling her a little bit more than she wanted to. And with all of the words, things escalated with about 2 minutes left in the game. And boom, she pushes Fly J Johnson down hard. And I know by now you've seen it. Her brother leaps over the stand, over the table, scores table, and he gets involved, and he got arrested. And it was just chaos. It ensued. I was out having a bite to eat and saw this, watched this whole incident on television right in real time, and watching the referees figure it all out. And one of the things I said before she even commented, and if you listen to KTSU Sports Talk here in Houston, I talked about this recently, how Dawn Staley is like my favorite person in sports. I mean, just the way she handles things, first class. She's considerate. She's thoughtful. She is about more than herself and even about more than her team and the gestures and the things that she does. She always says the right things. She always does the right things. She came out after this and apologized to the basketball community, saying this is not who we are. Things get intense. This is a young team. Last year's team wouldn't have done this. This is a growing opportunity for them, blah, blah, blah. Kim Mulkey, in response, the LSU coach, former Baylor coach, who we are well familiar with down here in the greater Houston area, came out and said, well, yeah, this was ugly. This is a mess. Nobody wants to be a part of that. But I wish Cardoza would have pushed Angel Reese, which, again, no, that's the wrong tone. Don't do that. Don't do that. Even if that's how you feel, even if that's how you go and talk to your team, that's not the tone you want to strike. But again and again, Kim Mulkey shows us who she is. We just don't believe her or we overlook. And of course, I think Chris Gardner and I talked about her and how she handles things, how she handled a lot of things pertaining to Brittany Griner. Just the Bobby Knight of women's basketball, almost. She hadn't thrown any chairs. Flamboyant, clearly a winner, and her teams are incredible. But you will not find a lot of class over on that side of the basketball court. And again, you just don't – you compare and contrast the comments of the two ladies. And I will tell you this, Cardoza was way out of line. She hit the game winner in the SEC semifinals. And here's the you talk about what Dawn Staley did. Dawn Staley flew in Camila Cardoza's family from Brazil. She hadn't seen her family in years or a long time, sort of unspecified. I don't know how long it had been. But she hadn't seen her family in a long, long time. And Dawn Staley flew in her sister and her mother so they could see her and watch her up close and watch her play. And they could see one another for the first time in a while. I don't know. Like I said, it's been a while. However long that's been. I don't know if it's years, months, I don't weeks. I don't know. Well, longer than weeks, I would imagine. But a long, long time. So, you know, everybody was in tears. Everybody. It was a wonderful moment leading up to the semifinals in the SEC championship. Dawn Staley gives her a chance. She's only attempted 2 3-point shots this season. Yet Dawn Staley told her to step back, take the shot, go for it. She hits her first three or second three of well, I think it's the first three this season. And she wins in the semifinals. And I will say this. She was out of line for pushing Fly J Johnson. And Johnson's brother is a Lamont Award recipient. We won't give it to him this episode because we have another one. But he was arrested. But, you know, he's 24. And that's his sister. And the way she flew to the ground, it was just a knee-jerk reaction. But everybody did what they were supposed to do. He got up to defend his sister. He went to jail. Sometimes you got to do that. It's not the right thing to do, but it's the thing you have to do. Again, that's your sister. And you see a huge Camila Cardoza just push her to the ground effortlessly. But the game itself was so competitive. And this is the thing that stands out to me was when Angel Reese last year went at Caitlin Clark with the, oh, you can't see me kind of thing in her face. And then later said, well, you know, we want to defend our SEC rivals or whatever, our SEC counterparts in South Carolina because Iowa beat South Carolina, undefeated South Carolina, beat them and knocked them out of the tournament. And now all of a sudden Angel Reese wants to take up for, you want to take up for South Carolina, a team you haven't beat since 2012. Now, I will say this, Angel Reese is about it. And I don't doubt her talent and her skills, but that was some BS that actually accelerated. It paid off for her in a major way because, of course, the huge NIL deals. She's become a household name in the sports universe, as it were. So it's paid off for her. The things that she's done, it's paid off for her. And, again, it says she's from Baltimore, and she's about it. And I believe it. She plays really, really physical. They talk a lot. But the next time you play South Carolina, you probably need to be quiet because you've not beaten that team since 2012. But it was great college basketball, even without the brawl. And people always say, oh, that's horrible for the game. Is it? Is it? always ask yourself, is it? Because what was the top story that day? What was the first headline that day? Wasn't about preseason baseball. It wasn't about basketball, NBA basketball. It wasn't about the men's game. It was about that incident. So it has people talking. It has people waiting to see if they will be on a collision course to play in a tournament. So while you can say, yeah, it's bad for the sport, it's not good, blah, 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 that's bullshit. You see what it is. We are all talking about it. I would have been talking about women's college basketball anyway because of this other young lady, and I'm talking about Caitlin Clark. Whatever, I don't know what the critics are doing or saying or seeing, but she is the truth. She had 34 points. She had 30 points in the second half and in overtime combined against Nebraska in the Big Ten championship. And I will tell you this, man, she went, there was a stretch where she had a steal, she had a three-pointer, she had a baseball pass at the length of the court to set up a layup. She drove and kicked to a free shooter in the corner. She did that. I mean, she stepped up in a way that you want any superstar player to step up. She did it. She was amazing. She's been amazing. And I think you need to watch her and appreciate what she does. She's wonderful to watch. She really is. And I don't know how far they can go because they have some players too. They have some outside shooters. They're going to be a formidable team. Then you have Juju Watkins, who really is rewriting the freshman scoring record book because she surpassed what Caitlin Clark did her freshman year. So she and her team defeated Stanford in the Pac-12 championship. So there are a lot of storylines in women's college basketball. In the SWAC, Jackson State 18-0 in the SWAC. Let's see if they can make some noise going into the tournament. The men's tournaments start this week, or the bigger ones. Some have already started, like the Colonial and the ASUN and some of those others. But SWAC starts, and we call the SWAC men's side the TSU Invitational. We're going for our third straight. Let's see if Coach Johnny Jones can get that done. It's a lot of parity in that league, and they are not the favorites by any stretch. I mean, it's going to be very competitive. The only thing is that team continues to step up when they need to. They had the preseason player of the year in P.J. Henry. So we'll have to see. That's going to be exciting. And, of course, you can catch all of that on KTSU 90.9 with Robert Hatta and my guy, Larry the Chatterbox Hill, bringing you all of the action. Of course, we'll talk about that inside of KTSU Sports Talk. I'm going to take time out, come back, still have a conversation with Reggie, and a whole lot more. This is the Sports Talk with Devin Wade podcast. Anyway, you get your podcast.
For past episodes or more content, go to WadesWordProductions.com.
Sports Talk with Devin Wade wants to thank our sponsor, Kofi Bankus and CoBank Homes. The vision at CoBank Homes is simple, and it stems from the belief that clients can trust CoBank to guide them to realize one of, if not the single largest investment decision they will ever make, their home. CoBank simply looks to build lifelong relationships through service. They do this by using faith, knowledge, and technology to guide clients through the process of achieving their real estate goals. Be it buying, selling, or investing in real estate, contact Kofi at 832-757-7950. That's 832-757-7950. CoBank Homes through Keller Williams. But they saw no fear. It ain't safe from here, but she still gonna hold on. It ain't safe from here, but she doesn't run from hiding. Lust, guns, drugs, violence, lust, guns, drugs. You are now listening to Husband. Won't let you go.
DJ Anarchy, Of course, if you have music you want heard on the podcast, if you have a mix, if you're a DJ or fledgling artist, any genre, doesn't matter, you can email us music@wadeswordproductions.com. The genre doesn't matter. We will play a snippet at the halfway point in the entire track on an extended portion of a mix at the end of the episode. I want you guys to keep calling that sports line too, 832-941-6614. I mentioned TSU and want to recognize and acknowledge Johnny Jones, head coach of the Texas Southern Tigers, on his 400th career victory. I was there for that as they defeated Prairie View in the regular season finale at the H&PE. They go into the SWAC. They line up or tip off against Jackson State for the first in their run. I think they play Friday at 2 p.m., so they'll try to make their push to get to the NCAA tournament. That's a one-bid league, and you know you got to win it if you want to go and play postseason basketball. So that's happening. The Cougars, and you know what I didn't mention about the University of Houston Cougars? And I think Reggie and I talked a little bit about it, but the University of Houston, the number one team in the nation, and I mean, this has been a historic run by them and Coach Kelvin Sampson. Just incredible what they've been able to do. A lot of people are like, wait till you get to the Big 12. Watch what they got for you in the Big 12. Watch Texas. Watch Kansas. Watch Kansas State. Watch Iowa State. Watch what they do. And guess what they did? They ran through the conference, won the outright title, didn't have to share it. Dominated Kansas, beat them by 30. I watched all of that game. Incredible performance by U of H. I question whether or not they have enough to go to the Final Four. I think that they're not big up front, and they're not deep, and they had Tugler, the freshman, injured. So we'll have to see. But they've lost a lot of good players to the NBA over the last couple of years. And I will tell you this, man, they keep rolling. Now, this is not a team on the level of Phi Slim and Jimma, but this is the college basketball game. It's totally different. It's totally different. And again, in many ways, it opened up the door for women to walk in because the women, by and large, the big players, have come back to school and they've remained with the program. Now, I know that Angel Reese transferred into LSU, and I know all these teams have a bunch of people that transfer in. But the issue is the big names, like your Angel Reese, like your Caitlin Clark, and, you know, the coaches, Don Staley, Kim Mulkey, and Gino Auriemma, Paige Becker, a player that's, you know, they stay with their teams. And that's different from the men's game where everybody is always leaving, transferring for NIL deals, what have you. And by and large, U of H has not been tremendously affected by that, although Tremont Mark left for Arkansas. So here's the trade-off. This is what he did. He was going to be probably the number one scoring option. If not, and if LJ Cryer comes, he's number one, 1A, 1B, or whatever. 1A or 1B is the scoring option for the University of Houston Cougars, number one team in the nation. He leaves for presumably more money and to play at Arkansas in the SEC. And how's that working out for him? I mean, I don't know what kind of season he's having, but I know that they're not going to the tournament. And they are, what, below 500? And, I mean, so what do you give up? And I'm not knocking the young man. You make the move you have to make for you. But, you know, all money ain't good money because think about the exposure and the energy you would get if the Cougars make a run in the NCAA playoff where you get a national audience for two, maybe three weekends where you are, this team is among the elite and you help them get to that point, presumably. I mean, if you continue to play well and be the player that you were here in Houston, taking a mantle from Sasser like that, being the guy for U of H, and you leave that. And again, I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but you leave that to go to Arkansas. Now you're not even going to the tournament. In the long run, that may cost you some money. Because I think if you go in as a higher profile guy because of the national success, we've seen many, many guys in the history of college basketball that had a run in a tournament. Steph Curry is one that comes to mind. Now, that didn't mean his run paved the way for him to be successful in the NBA. But guys make runs where they become household names over these 3 weeks. He could have been one of those guys. He leaves And again, not begrudging his decision. You make the decision you have to make. Not working out from my vantage point. And, but he may argue that, depending on how much money he got in NIL deals at Arkansas. But they will not be going to the NCAA tournament. And that's a big, big sacrifice. So with that, let's get into our conversation. Talk free agency with Reggie Brown. Really, as moves were happening, and moves happened even after this conversation, but this is a snapshot in time. Here's our conversation with former NFL wide receiver, our guy from the special teams unit, Reggie Brown. There are so many things going on, but let's start with free agency. It's been a whirlwind, and officially free agency doesn't start until tomorrow, but of course we know that all these deals get done prior to. What are your takeaways from day one of free agency?
Money, 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 money. They are paying these guys. Oh my God. Robert Hunt gets $100 million. A right guard. Wow. It's all about the money, baby.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what has been the most impactful? Because obviously you look at the really high-profile moves. For my money, is Russell or Kirk Cousins. Is that the one that you point to, or are there others that you look at and say that's the marquee deal?
Yeah, I think that Atlanta is a team that's really, really good. They got some really, really good pieces. The defense is good enough. They got some things going on offense. Kirk Cousins, I think he takes them to a playoff, instant playoff team. Again, it's Kirk Cousins, so there's that. But I think, and when you talk about impactful, I really think that he's going to make a big difference in Atlanta.
Well, you know, and I think that division is so winnable. Are you really believing in the $100 million guy, Baker Mayfield? Do you think that he's really found his spot where he can make the most impact, or was that a flash in the pan? Can they repeat that performance with him playing the way he did at quarterback, or was that a one-off?
Well, I think that organization, Bruce Arians did a great job of really building a climate and culture there. And I think when you get climate and culture, you can kind of plug and play. Baker Mayfield is, you know, he did a decent job yet last year. You get Mike Evans to come back, you know, hopefully Godwin now after 2 years of post surgery gets better. So yeah, I think he'll be fine. I think that that's a maintenance deal with them. And again, you talked about it with Atlanta in that division. I think they're good enough to win the division, or at least be really solid and competing for it.
Yeah, because at one point Todd Bowles was in a lot of trouble. Now it looks like obviously everybody's happy with the run that they made late in the season and getting into the playoffs, but that division remains wide open. Carolina doesn't seem like they're going to get back in the hunt anytime soon. New Orleans, I'm not feeling what they're doing. So to me now it becomes a two-team race to at least win the NFC South. What about the NFC East? Cowboys quiet so far. Nothing from the Cowboys so far, while the Eagles have really been busy. The Philadelphia Eagles have been busy. They add Saquon Barkley. What do you think?
Well, I think they lose some guys on defense, and that's really been their calling card. But that's Saquon, man. I really think when you have a quarterback with some deficiencies, I mean, obviously, Hurst is a great guy, right? He's a top-tier quarterback. But throwing the ball, there's some things, and maybe there's some maturity in terms of reading defenses and all of those things that come into just the maturation of a quarterback. But when you pair him with Saquon Barkley, and you're able to run the ball, which is what they want to be, a very physical football team, and then you're able to run that zone read, and then you still have the receivers out on the outside, man, you know, they instantly become, you know, again, with San Francisco, they haven't lost anything. They shifted it more to offense than defense this year in terms of how they're going to win. But they still stay in the top one, two, three teams in the NFC because of that move. I love that move for them.
Well, Austin Ekeler joins the Commanders, so he goes from one coast to the other. But I worry a little bit about, if you are a Philadelphia fan, you worry about the trenches with Jason Kelce retiring, Fletcher Cox retiring. Yeah. I mean, they have some depth, but I don't know if you can replace. I mean, Kelce is a Hall of Fame center, so I don't know how easy it'll be to replace that. Because, you know, and you know this more than I do, that offensive lines are about chemistry, not just, you know, individual pieces. They have to work in unison, and having a guy like Kelce guide that offensive line, now you lose that. You hope that you can find a reasonable facsimile of what he was able to do.
Well, you're not going to replace that guy. And then whoever you bring in, again, I think a lot of it when you start, as you correctly state about winning and losing an offensive line, it really is about chemistry. It really is about climate and culture. I remember when I was with the Oilers, you know, Bruce Matthews, I played with two Hall of Famers on the offensive line. And, you know, I hung out with them at the local pub on Tuesday nights where, you know, the whole offensive line was there. So it is climate and culture. It is chemistry. But you think that Philadelphia is building that. So I don't really see them losing much. And again, having a guy like Saquon Barkley in the backfield helps you with that offensive line.
Well, we got some breaking news here. It looks like Derrick Henry is signing a 2-year deal with the Ravens. Wow.
Yes, I've seen that. Wow. I mean, that's such a great fit for them, right? I really wanted the Dolphins to get him, but it just had Baltimore written all over it. I mean, again, we just talked about the zone run with Hurst and Barkley. Imagine that with Lamar and Henry now, you know, and plus that offensive line, that physical brand of football that Baltimore wants to play. I always knew that that was the perfect place for him. I was just hoping that he'd go to Miami. I mean, that's a great fit.
With Derrick Henry gone, Josh Jacobs gone at running back, the Texans make a move and add Joe Mixon. What does that do for that Texans offense?
Man, the Texans are serious, and they for real. And with that coach and with that offense, I mean, you talk about Stroud, you talk about Collins, and now adding Mixon, who can do so much with the football. I mean, he is one of the most consistent backs in the last 6 years in the NFL. He's a perennial 1,000-yard guy. He's going to get you 50 catches. I really like that for the Texans. And again, he's the guy that when I thought about the running back room, there was Jones, Mixon, and Henry. I really wanted Mixon for the Dolphins over out of all of those three. I think the Texans get a playmaker, a guy who has, you know, changed the narrative. You know, obviously there was some things about him when he was, you know, a younger guy, but he's just changed that narrative. Hard worker, gets the, you know, plays hard. I love that for the Texans.
Yeah, man, that is a huge move. I would imagine that they'll have to do something else at that running back position, maybe draft somebody. Because, again, you know, you need two or three running backs if you are going to succeed in this league. And you don't have only a few teams like Tennessee, like one or two others, were had a primary back like the old school.
What about Pierce, though? What about Pierce?
Is that he? Okay, so here's the deal with him. He went in last year. He was supposed to be the guy and could not produce for whatever reason. I know he had some injury stuff. He didn't take the baton and run with it. Devin Singletary instead became their leading rusher. If you want to keep him in that secondary role, or do you want to, I would probably opt towards drafting or seeing what else is left out there. I know Gus Edwards is gone. I know Josh Jacobs. Aaron Jones, who I loved, and I wish the Texans would have been in on him, signs a 1-year deal for $7 million with the Vikings. So, I mean, you see these running backs. I mean, Derrick Henry getting $8 million a year. And Pollard got a 3-year, $24 million deal with the Titans. I think that'll be pretty significant, although they seem to be in some area of transition, unless Will Levis is something way more than we've seen so far.
Well, I would say going back to the Texans and Pierce, I mean, I think you get a guy like Mixon who's a professional. Pierce is good enough to spell him and help him out and carry the load, even Singletary. So
well, he's gone.
I don't know. Maybe they take I mean, maybe the Texans take a flyer in the seventh round on the guy, sixth round on the guy. I think with the room that they have there, they're good enough there. They can try to fill some other holes. I mean, in my opinion, they got enough at running back.
Yeah, I still think you need to make sure you have depth on the offensive line, and you got to add some help on the defensive front. They lose Jonathan Grignard to the Vikings, so a leader from a linebacker position is gone to the Vikings. So they have their work to do. Cowboys have been really, really quiet, and probably because they know they have to spend some money next year, that they're not trying to get into too many situations. Obviously, it's going to hurt them to lose Pollard. They'll have to make some kind of move at running back, and we'll have to see what else. Would you sign CeeDee Lamb to a $30 million deal? Would you give him that huge amount of money at wide receiver next year? I mean, this is a down the road a little bit, but would you do that?
I just would not, because he's, in my mind, CeeDee Lamb is a slot guy from what I see him as a receiver. And I just don't know if you pay that guy that much money. I love him as a receiver. He got some dog in him and all of that. You know, it's one of the things as fans we have to do is separate the player from the long term and the position and all of these things. And while I like him, I do not think he's a $30 million guy. I just don't.
Because, see, here's the deal. And this is why I think Kansas City has ruined the economy long-term for wide receivers. It just hadn't caught up yet. The receivers are still getting huge, huge money. But when you look at it, the number one receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs was a tight end. And you go with this sort of motley crew of wide receivers, and you win a Super Bowl. Not only one, but two. So, I mean,
I would argue that that's because you got Patrick Mahomes. Unless you got Patrick Mahomes back there, then you're going to have some receivers. So I think he's in that model that Kansas City doing is a little bit different when you got that guy. Just like with New England, they didn't have to do it because they had that guy. So when they got the top receiver in Moss, they didn't even win the Super Bowl that year. I mean, granted, they went 17-0 or whatever it was, but they didn't win the Super Bowl that year. But I think when you got the number one quarterback in the league, you can be different. Everybody else is chasing them. So there's that.
But again, when is the last time a number one receiver led his team to the Super Bowl? Or to a Super Bowl win. Let me think about that, because I know getting there,
I think Chase was doing it with New England, with Cincinnati.
Right, they him and A.J. Brown, if you want to talk about A.J. Brown. But they were
A.J. Brown, yes. I mean, the number one receiver, you know, I think that's a real thing.
They got that guy.
Yeah.
And even the Rams did have
Odell Beckham.
And of course,
he was dominating that Super Bowl. He would have been the Super Bowl MVP if he hadn't got hurt.
Yeah, so like I said, so it's one of those things that they'll have to assess, and they have some decisions to make. To me, I think the biggest move, the most important move, I really do believe, is Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh. $1.2 million deal. Of course, Denver will pay the rest of that. But how exciting is that for the Steelers? You have to be able to compete in that division. Man, that is a big-time move. I think that gives you some security. That gives you an adult in the room leading your team. Not that Pickett was this or that. I just think having a veteran who's been to two Super Bowls, who knows how to get it done. I mean, I really have hated all of the Russell Wilson slander, especially when you look at that offense and the receivers that he had. I just think that his, you know, reports of his demise have been greatly exaggerated. What do you think about Russ going to Pittsburgh?
Well, I think he's a veteran that, you know, knows how to win this league. I don't know if he puts them over Cincinnati. I don't know if he puts them over Baltimore. I don't know if he puts them over even the Browns, quite frankly. I mean, he's a great addition, and he's certainly going to – that's Pittsburgh. And And year in and year out, they're going to be there and they're going to compete again. That's the climate and culture that we talked about that's been established there. I like it for him. I don't know how much, though, he moves it.
But can't he have those receivers?
I'm not in his demise. I just don't know. The Russell Wilson that we saw in Seattle, I don't know if he's that guy anymore.
But, okay, he may not be that guy, but what can he do for those wide receivers? I think that he helps the entire offense. He helps the tight end.
Of course.
I think he helps the running game because they're going to be doing everything off play action. I just think – and then, again, you know they're going to have a winning record. So, let's say you know they're going to have at least 9 wins. Can you get the 2 more wins to get to the playoffs? I mean, this is – and, I mean, in historic fashion, you know, they never have a losing season under Mike Tomlin. So, if you're going to go with that premise, you already start with 9 wins. Can you get because, again, Cincinnati, T. Higgins is not healthy. Oh, we're not happy. He's not happy. He got franchised. Maybe they'll work out a long-term deal. He's not happy. Burrow, we'll have to see how – I mean, you know, injuries have a huge impact. Can Deshaun Watson be what you need him to be? Obviously, they got it done without him. But Joe Flacco is not going to be there to run that offense all season long. He's not – so you have to have the performance of Deshaun Watson – is he almost done? Can he get back to what he was?
Man, that's a great question, man. I thought when Deshaun was in Houston that he was one of, at the very least, a top 5 quarterback in the league. And I would have even put him in the top 3 category. But since he's been back, I mean, obviously we all know the stories. Since he's been back, I really think it took something out of him. He's not the same guy in any shape, form, or fashion that he was in Houston. And hopefully he can get it back. But, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of injuries, a lot of off the field. I mean, and again, it's something about having – and maybe that's overblown on our side looking in, but to become kind of the bad guy for a lot of people. And I think when you talk about a guy's psyche like his, he's always been the good guy. The quality guy, the right guy. And now he's not that, and he has this shadow over him, you know, all of the time. Can he thrive?
Every stadium you go in, there's the sign that says the women and the massage. And, you know, some people relish in that villain role. I don't think he does that. I think, as you correctly state, that he's struggling with that, and it just shows.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. So when you start to break it down, okay, obviously Baltimore is the class of that division. Now you add Derrick Henry. That is a big move. But we know that running backs can fall off a cliff. I mean, they can go from – look at remember, Sean Alexander and guys like that. They just fall off a cliff. They don't gradually decline. They're here one day, and they're gone the next. Do you think Derrick Henry has something left?
Well, I know he got something left. And again, I think that he doesn't have to be that guy because of what Lamar Jackson does in the running game. So he can just be the presence. And obviously, you know, I think he's still running hard. You look at him from last year. I think that Tennessee did him a service by bringing in, what's the guy who was his backup last year? Took a lot of carries off his hand last year.
Yeah, so the Spears. Yeah, Tajay Spears. Yeah.
Spears, yes, his carries went down. So, you know, that took some wear and tear off the tires. So I think that the presence alone and then being a veteran and, you know, maybe Dobbins comes back and kind of takes, you know, he's had some injury issues and maybe, you know, he spares him and all of that and they save him down for the stretch run. But, yeah, I just think that he got a year or so left.
Yeah, I know Baltimore knows how to run the football. I mean, that is for sure. So it's been a whole lot of fun, man. It's been really rapid. I thought this was not going to be a year where the running backs were going to be the story, but they have been. When you talk about DeAndre Swift, you talk about Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, Pollard, all of these guys, Saquon, they're still in the headlines. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's a surprise for everybody to think that, boy, this was a really busy running back free agency period. To me, this is defined by the movement of the running backs.
Well, it still get cold in December, and you still got to run the football. And so that's what teams gear up for. You know, the August to November is when you position yourself. But come December, running the ball travels, and that's what I see teams are gearing up for.
Finally, I'll ask you about your team. We talk about the folks that have, to me, have been kind of losers in the situation. I would look at probably Oakland. I mean, well, not Oakland, but Las Vegas, the Raiders. I would look at Miami and the lack of movement by the Cowboys. How do you feel about the Dolphins' free agency or lack thereof, losing Christian Wilkinson and others? What are your thoughts on that?
Eventually, you got to pay the piper, man. And we have, you know, we got Terron Armstead 3 years ago on a massive contract. We got Tyreek Hill 2 years ago on a massive contract. We got Jalen Ramsey last year on a massive contract. We've signed our guys over the last 2 or 3 years on massive contracts. And eventually, you got to pay the piper. And it's bittersweet, man, and it's hard as hell to deal with it from a Dolphins perspective, especially when you're used to knowing that Chris Greer is going to go and get someone. But on the flip side of that, I look at it from the standpoint of there's absolutely no way you can pay Christian Wilkins $27 million a year. There's absolutely no way you can pay Robert Hunt, who's been a good guard, and, you know, I would even say better than average, but absolutely not a $20 million guy that he got. Van Ginkle has been a perennial backup. He's a splash guy who makes plays. He plays really, really hard, but he got $10 million a year. And then our safety, Brandon Jones, who went to Denver, I believe it is, you know, he was a guy, and he got $9 million, I believe it is. So while I hated losing those guys, you tip your hat to them and say, go get the bag, because there's no way that Miami could afford to pay them. But I do like some of the moves we've made since then. We just signed Shaq Barrett, who obviously is not the guy he was 4 or 5 years ago. But until Phillips and Chubb gets back, he's going to be a serviceable pass rusher. Our linebacker core got incrementally better. We signed two guys there. We got to find some offensive linemen. So I'm cautiously optimistic at this point in terms of where we're going.
Well, like I said, man, it's been a lot going on, and we got a lot to talk about because you still had a draft coming up. You have some other pieces that'll fall into place here over the next coming days, and there's still some names out there. And we'll have to see what both the Cowboys, what they do, the Texans, what they do on defense, if anything, and of course, what else the Dolphins do. And, I mean, it's a fun time. And just like basketball did in the summertime, you have the NFL stealing headlines during the NBA season. So this has been really, really exciting when you have a Hall of Famer in Russell Wilson changing hands, and a guy like Saquon Barkley. And I mean, you have some big guys impact guys moving teams. So that makes it a whole lot of fun.
Hey, man, this is a great time of the year. But I know you're going to have to run. You a man with 1,000 hats. But tell me, what do you think about that South Carolina LSU girls basketball?
Well, you know what? I think that LSU – so this is the number one thing that I thought about after all of that. Do you remember Angel Reese came into the national spotlight, obviously because of her play, but because she did the hand in front of her face sort of deal for Caitlin, in front of Caitlin Clark, because she said in her mind she was avenging her SEC rivals in South Carolina. Iowa had beaten South Carolina to reach the championship game before LSU beat them. You know, like, come on, man. You know, like, when do you take up for your rivals? Well, Angel Reese came to national prominence from that, and you fast forward to a year later, they've not beaten this team since 2012. So they're not even on the level with South Carolina. What I do think about the whole situation is that, I mean, these things happen. When you have a bigger player going after a little player and not going after Angel Reese, that's problematic. But all in all, I think it's actually good for the game because, you never like to see that kind of stuff. But let's face it, people are talking about this game. We're talking about this
game.
It sells
tickets.
Right.
It sells tickets, baby.
Yeah, and you hope these teams play again. But I also I thought, man, Caitlin Clark was amazing in the Big Ten championship game as well. So, yeah, man, it's these women, man. And Juju Watkins, the young lady in at USC, is amazing. What she's doing. So we're doing a bracket competition. We're going to do the women's NCAA brackets as well. So I'll give you the link on that one so you can make your bracket, pick your bracket on the women's side as well.
Hey, I just did. I thought that, you know, when the girls basketball tournament comes, it's going to be amazing. There's so many storylines. I mean, typically, that's not something that really catches your eye. You think about the perennials, UConn and Tennessee and that thing, and then obviously South Carolina over the last couple of years. But there's so many storylines that are going on now to the point where Saturday morning, you know, I have a 15-year-old, and while she plays volleyball, I wanted her to watch college basketball, to see the intensity of it, to, you know, to feel what it's like to compete on a high level. And I really, like you said, I think it's great for basketball. Obviously, there are those who are going to say, oh, they're pushing and fighting, et cetera, et cetera. But that's sports, man, and there's the competitive nature that's involved in it and that comes with it, and it's just a part of it. But I'm excited for this tournament, probably more so than the men's tournament.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a lot going on, and it makes it fun. And the reason why it is fun is because all of these women were able to come back to school. This is what happens with the men's game. Everything starts anew. By and large, most of your top players have stayed put, right? They've not transferred on the women's side. On the men's side, you start brand new every year.
Every year.
And unless you follow AAU basketball, you don't know who these guys are. And, I mean, U of H has kind of been the exception, although they lost Tremont Mark to Arkansas. By and large, they don't lose a lot of guys to transfer. Right, right, right. But, you know, with these guys going pro, you don't get to know them. One of the things that you know about the golden era of college basketball is you knew that, okay, UNLV, those guys were coming back next year.
So yes, North Carolina was coming back. Duke was coming back.
With the guys you knew.
Yeah, with the guys you know, and you wanted to see their maturation, and you got to see Christian Layton go from this guy to an all-star. You got to see Grant Hill go from here to there. I mean, you got to see Montross from the Carolina, you know, as a freshman, go to a man when he was a senior. So, yeah, I agree with you on that.
I mean, those guys, I mean, you go back to Ewing and Olajuwon, and then you go to the – you know, all of those guys that had to stay at least 3 years, remember, you had to file for hardship, and they had to approve your ability to leave. You know what I mean? You had to file, you had to go hardship, and people don't even know that term. But, you know, you had to say, hey, because my family has economic hardships, I have to go out and work. And that was the only way you could enter the draft early back in the day. But while it's better for the players, the men's game is suffering. Because now you have the U of H Cougars, number one team in the country. Number one team in the country. They're not close to being one of the best University of Houston teams, but that's just the nature of what a college game is. You look at that team to me, and I don't see a number one overall team. But in the context of today's game, obviously they are, and they have a chance to win it all. Although I think they have some problems in the front court. I think they're a little small and banged up. So we'll keep
on. I like that Carolina team to win it all. I think they got enough in the back court, and obviously in the front court, they're pretty big and solid. I'm banking on Carolina this year.
I mean, there are a number of teams, and I've sort of watched a little bit more when you talk a little bit about, I think U of H will be in the mix just because you're not prepared for that defensive intensity. Inconsistent on the offensive side. But if you get a guy to hit some shots, I mean, you see what they did to Kansas. And so I look at, U of H will be in the mix. I don't think that they will go to the Final Four. UConn is a team I think that is one to watch out for. Tennessee is another one. So we'll have to see. Big win for Alabama State, by the way, beating Grambling, the swag champs, in double overtime.
Go. Let's go. Man, Alabama State did a great job. The video that they put out showing the team waiting and watching and seeing what was going to go on. You know, the swag is stepping it up from a communication standpoint. You guys, how's my guy Chris Dishman doing over there?
I mean, doing great. I saw him Saturday. So they'll be starting with spring football. But, you know, when it comes to basketball, you guys are going to the TSU Invitational. That's what we call the swag tournament. That's what we call the swag tournament these days. It's the TSU Invitational. So we're going for a three-peat. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
So we'll be talking more basketball.
You got to beat them. I can't say nothing until we beat them, so I'm going to hold my tongue.
Yeah, we got Jackson State to open up. Who do y'all open up in the swag tournament with?
Valley, I believe.
Okay. I know it's a lot of parity in the conference. So, I mean, obviously, Grambling is a two-time regular season winner and very deserving, but it ain't about what you deserve. It's about what you go get.
Go get it.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, we'll catch up soon, man. And then, well, like I said, there's a lot to talk about. We'll visit real soon.
Hey, man, the special teams is back. Let's go, guys.
To have your comments heard, call 832-941-6614.
One thing, Reggie, as always, and we certainly appreciate that. Of course, feel free to comment on his comments. I forgot to revisit the Bobby Brown thing, but you guys have let me know how you feel. But I stand firm in my position about Bobby Brown. But with that, it's time for the Lamont Award.
I don't want to wish you no bad luck, but I hope your ship sinks. With no lifeboats and no life preservers and a school of piranhas surrounding you, you big dummy.
The Lamont Award goes to the player, team, entity, someone we deem is the big dummy of the episode. And we were all set to give it to Fly J Johnson's brother for leaping onto the court. But I think the judge will have more to say about that situation. So there's that. So we won't, we'll let him slide on that. And obviously, I understand the impulse, but somebody should have held him down. And security did a good job of stopping two or three others who came behind him trying to do the same thing. But if you get involved in the mix, you have to let stuff that happens on the field stay on the field, on the court stay on the court. You are Lamont Jr. in this situation. Or maybe you're Woody or Rollo of this episode. But the Lamont Award this time goes out to Aaron Rodgers. Of course, he's recovering from Achilles surgery, and he tore an Achilles in the fourth play of his New York Jets career. But he's not making news, like always. I mean, like consistently throughout his career. He's not making news for what's on the field. And you can't underrate him as a player because it's an incredible play. But he's one of those guys, when he starts to show you, we know it when we see it. When we hear certain things, and you just get a vibe from him that you know what he is. You know how he is. He's an infamous anti-vaxxer. He's one of those counterculture guys who's too cool for school. He's smarter than the rest of the class. And, you know, only he knows the answers. Well, he is teaming up potentially with another one of these counterculture Joe Rogan type, the guys that Joe Rogan fans love, and Robert Kennedy Jr. Robert Kennedy Jr., of course, is the nephew of JFK, son of Robert Kennedy. So, you know, he comes from a long line of, you know, famous Kennedys. But he is the black sheep times 10 in that family. They don't even deal with him and his wild political views. He has a number of crazy, outlandish ideas. But he is also attempting to run for president as a third-party independent candidate. This man knows. And maybe he doesn't know. Maybe whatever he's on, you know, his ketamine thoughts have led him to believe that he will be president. But I think more than anything else, he wants to get attention and he wants to be disruptive. And he certainly could be, although I don't see a lot of momentum being gained by Robert Kennedy Jr. He actually ran an ad during the Super Bowl where he used a campaign slogan that his uncle used back in the day. And the family rebuked him for it. He came out and apologized and pulled that with quickness. So he's an anti-vaxxer too. He's one of these guys that, again, whatever you believe is whatever you believe. But sometimes you look at science and you're like, okay, you're just going to ignore all of that. you know, and then I don't know how many people he knew died of COVID. I know a bunch of people that died of COVID. And, you know, the million other people in the United States and millions of others around the world that died of COVID. But you are tripping on the vaccine. Okay. And there are people who have, for whatever reason, they had an issue. That's fine. But Aaron Rodgers is on RFK Jr.'s short list as a running mate. A vice presidential candidate. He could be named that. Now, this is a four-time NFL MVP in his second season, going into his second season with the Jets. That is not anti-vax country. I don't think this shtick from RFK Jr. plays well. I wonder how that'll play with the fans, if they'll be able to separate his politics from his play, especially if this becomes – first of all, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to step away from his $35 million that he's guaranteed to make from the Jets to run for president during the NFL season. The election is in November. I don't think he's going to do that. So – whatever, this is all just another big headline, and it's just silly, and he is getting his kicks by gaslighting people like me and others who think that this is absolutely ridiculous. So, because you are on the short list and have allowed this thing to get this far with this fringe candidate that could potentially give the election to Trump or Biden, depending on what you think, it could sway the election. And if you want to do that and be a part of that and really just sort of taint history, be my guest. But you are a big dummy.
You big dummy.
This is just, I think, something that's just a fringe headline. But they did procure the domain name KennedyRodgers.com. on the GoDaddy host website host site or whatever. So whatever, he needs to sit his anti-vax ass down somewhere. And because I guarantee you one thing, he took that anesthesia when he had his surgery. I guarantee you he took them pain pills after surgery. I'm sure he took antibiotics or whatever the hell else the doc. He wasn't holistic about going into Achilles surgery. If he had, I guess he had Achilles surgery. He had to have. So I'm sure he took his medicine for all of that, but this is the shit that you are tripping on because you seem to be smarter than everybody else. I see you, Aaron Rodgers. You on that. But with that, before I let go, I want to thank our resident DJ, DJ Anarchy. I want to thank Reggie Brown, Cobank Holmes, Brighter Brains. I want to thank you guys. Continue to post, to call, to write, be a part of the community. I promise we have some fun stuff coming up for you. Eyeing some locations for a live remote that we've been planning for 3 years. We're finally going to make that happen. I keep saying that. Please believe me. And it'll be worth it, I hope, because we'll have some high-profile guests, some fun guests. So, depends on what your definition of high-profile, but we will have some great guests and a whole lot of fun. So, that is coming up. But, again, thank you guys. Remember, call us on the sports line, 832-941-6614. In addition to that, you can tweet me or X me at Wade's Word on Instagram, at the Devin Wade, DEVANWAD. And if you can't remember any of that, please remember these four things.
Number one, I don't do no favors after 6 o'clock in the evening. Two, I ain't got no money. Three, I'm not harboring any fugitives from justice. And four, bye.
This has been the Sports Talk with Devin Wade podcast. Remember, you can follow him on Twitter at Wade's Word. Thank you for listening.